Second scripture lesson this morning is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, verses 36 through 49. Hear now the word of the Lord. While they were talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While in their joy, they were disbelieving and still wondering. He said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written, that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised, so stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please pray with me. God, I pray that your spirit would rain on us this morning, that your spirit would guide us and calm us and be with us. Lord, in your name we pray. Amen. So at the offset, I will tell you, apparently the ear mic was not working properly. My grandmother was 100% Italian, so I talk with my hand so that I have to hold a hand mic. It's a struggle, you guys. I just want to do this. So, no, I'm good. I don't think you can hold it from 6 feet away and still hear me. One of the things that I have been hearing a lot about lately, or at least some about, is the return of family meals. Growing up, family dinners were always an important part of our household. We always ate together as a family. We said grace before the meal, and each of us three kids had our designated chair. That was our spot. There were no phones allowed at the table. Well, cell phones weren't around yet, so that was a non-issue for us. The television always went off during dinner, and we talked about our days, about school, about my parents' work. Sitting together for a meal mattered in our house, as I'm sure it matters in most of your houses. Meals can be holy times, and we find it's not really about the food. It's the joke, though, that we will celebrate the coworker's birthday if there's cake involved. But a meal time becomes sacred time when it strengthens our connections to one another. The meal we share at this table is a holy mealtime. Even if we are celebrating communion, even though we are celebrating communion from different geographic locations, our hearts are connected here at this table by the Holy Spirit. You are with us today, and I'm so glad. In our story this morning, two disciples have just returned. You may remember from our story last week, from what was to be a road trip to Emmaus. They were walking along thinking about all of the things that had happened when Jesus appeared to them. Now, they didn't recognize him at first. Their eyes were shielded from knowing who he was. And so then Jesus joined them at the table. He broke bread with them, had a meal with them. And then their eyes were opened and they recognized him. So those two disciples made a beeline for Jerusalem back the way they had come to the other disciples. And they're there in that room telling the other disciples what had happened, how Jesus had been made known to them in the breaking of bread. And then, bam, Jesus stands among them himself. Peace be with you, Jesus says, which I always think is sort of the biblical equivalent of ta-da. And their first response is fear. Fear. Isn't it interesting that after everything, after the women saw the angels, after Peter went and saw the empty tomb for himself, after Cleopas and his other disciple friend had seen Jesus in person, walked with him, broke bread with him, after all of the things that had happened, their first response is fear. They think they're seeing a ghost. And so Jesus shows them his hands and his feet. Look, Jesus says, ghosts don't have flesh and bones. Not a ghost, guys. And now they're torn. There's some joy, but there's still fear. And there's still disbelief. And some of us who are in the 21st century are thinking to ourselves, get the shovel, because ghosts don't have flesh and bones, but zombies do. Maybe Jesus sensed a little bit of that in them. Because the next thing he does is to prove that he's not there to eat their brains. He does ask them for food, but not that kind of food. And they give him some fish, and in their presence, he eats it. Only living things eat, not a ghost, not a zombie. And he talks to them, reminds them about what they already know, draws them back into this word, back into himself. You are witnesses, Jesus says, in this meal that you share, that we share, you are witnesses, not just at this table, not just for the people at this table, but for the whole world. It might start here, but this is not where it ends. You are this living, breathing witness, and their fear turns to joy. Meals can be holy ground. In Scripture, there are so many examples of times when meals became holy ground. The Jewish festivals are centered around eating, centered around food. Passover meal celebrates that time that through Moses, God delivered the people out of Egypt, away from slavery. They eat in remembrance of that. We have big holiday meals in our traditions, everything from Thanksgiving to Easter to Christmas to Mom's birthday. Meals can be holy times. So it makes sense that we celebrate God's grace and celebrate Jesus' unfailing love by sharing a meal together. That's what communion is. It's what communion means to me. It is the celebration of God's grace and Jesus' unfailing love celebrated with a meal together. Because we're better together. Even when we eat our communion meal separately today and through this quarantine, we are still better together because God's Spirit connects us together. Sharing this meal reminds us of that. It reminds us that we're better together and that the ways that we reach out to one another and help each other, even from a healthy 6 feet away, still matters. I want to share with you a video that I've seen going around the internet. It's based on the parable of the long spoon, and you'll see some people sitting in a circle with spoons that are much too long to feed themselves. Watch what happens.
Thank you.
mealtime becomes sacred time when it strengthens our connections to one another. When a meal encourages us to be brothers and sisters in Christ, to be siblings in Christ, to help take care of each other and love each other, making sure that each of us has what we need, the mealtime becomes sacred time. Know that in this meal you are seen and you are loved. And when the mealtime becomes sacred time, our eyes become opened, the colors return, and we recognize Jesus. Our fear turns to joy. That's why it doesn't matter if you're gathered here for communion today and using bread, gluten-free wafers, or goldfish. I administered communion to a women's group once, and they had forgotten to get any of the elements. And so we did communion with apple cider donuts and apple juice. It was sticky, but it was meaningful. We used what mattered. We used what we had. What matters is that Christ and our hearts are connected, and we can share this holy meal together because God's table is so much bigger than just this physical footprint of wood and nails. Maybe communion is what your hearts need today. Maybe you have been feeling lonely or isolated. Maybe you have been afraid and anxious like the disciples who were in that room with the door closed, shut against the outside world, set apart. My guess is that you've also been feeling some grief. We've each experienced a loss during this time, whether it is the loss of a loved one, the loss of an event you were really looking forward to, the loss of a job. We've all experienced this loss as individuals, and we feel this kind of collective grief too. I listened to a podcast last week by Brené Brown, fantastic writer and speaker. She interviewed writer David Kessler, who writes about how we make meaning through grief, that we make meaning, but we still have to feel grief. And I think it's good for us to be able to name that, to say that what you're feeling is grief. And we can call it that and feel that. And there is no bypass around that. We're all feeling it. We're feeling this collectively, and it's painful. And honestly, it's damn exhausting. But the other thing that Kessler said that really stuck with me is that it is possible to find gratitude through all of this. Not to be thankful for the pandemic, and some of you heard me say this at the Friday meditation this week, but not to be thankful for the pandemic, not to be thankful for the trauma or the pain. I'm not thankful for COVID-19, but I'm thankful that in the midst of this virus, despite the social distancing, despite the fact that most of us are suffering from extreme screen fatigue, despite all of that, we can still be together because the Holy Spirit makes it so. This meal is a reminder of that. This meal, this Holy Communion, this reminder that even if we are physically apart, we are together. We are better together. We are connected by God's Holy Spirit who dwells within each of us, who encourages and guides, inspires and challenges each of us. It's not some magic meal that magically makes everything all better, not a magic bullet that somehow takes the pain away, but there is a healing balm in knowing that we are together in this meal. It is a healing balm in the midst of the crazy. It is healing to know that you are not alone. Your faith family is with you, and we love you. You are loved. A mealtime becomes a sacred time when it strengthens our connections to one another, and to Jesus. I want to close this morning with a poem by Jan Richardson. Jan Richardson is a writer and an artist, a beautiful poet. Her poetry has been an incredible sense of comfort to me over the years, but these days especially. And I want to read to you her poem called "And the Table Will Be Wide." And while I read, you'll see her artwork called "The Best Meal." Take a moment to get comfortable. Listen to her words. Look at the artwork. And know as we gather for communion today that you are loved and you are not alone. and the Table Will Be Wide by Jan Richardson. And the table will be wide, and the welcome will be wide to gather us in, and our hearts will open wide to receive. And we will come as children who trust there is enough. And we will come unhindered and free. And our aching will be met with bread, and our sorrow will be met with wine. And we will open our hands to the feast without shame, and we will turn toward each other without fear, and we will give up our appetite for despair. We will taste and know of delight. And we will become bread for a hungering world, and we will become drink for those who thirst. And the blessed will become a blessing, and everywhere will be a feast. Amen.